Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN Radio. So good afternoon to you. It's John Williams here. The number's 312-981-7200. We'll take your calls and texts after 12:30. It's Wednesday, and Terry Savage, the syndicated financial columnist, is once again our guest with kind of a little different spin on your visit. Hi, Terry. How are you?
Hi, John. Let me set this up a little better than you did after the news.
Why? What did I do wrong?
Well, you kind of spilled the beans, but let me tell you.
Oh.
Let's everybody stop and think where we were a year ago. We had just watched, that was the opening of the pandemic here in early April. Everybody was scared to death. The economy was closing down. The Dow Jones Industrial Average had gone over 28,000 and had fallen to a low of about 18,000 and had bounced back a little to just 23,000 at this point last year. And we were all scared, and the unemployment numbers were growing, and the, you know, people in hospitals and ventilators, just remember that. And I was hosting one day when someone was taking vacation. I decided to have a bull and a bear speak. Now, the bear was a hedge fund manager who made a credible argument that the market was just bouncing. It would go back down below 18,000, maybe as low as 15,000 on the Dow. That was scary. Then I brought on Dr. Bob Frelich. He has a long career as an investment manager, ran mutual funds, sitting on the boards of major funds. And by the way, yes, he is indeed the CEO of the Kane County Cougars baseball team. And it's important to keep baseball in mind because I think Dr. Bob tracks not only stocks, but he's very involved, of course, in baseball. So when he made that forecast, last year at this time, actually on April 22nd, he really shocked me. And I know Pete has the clip, so let's play the clip. Last year, Dr. Bob, when everybody's scared to death, people forecasting the bear market of the century, here's what Dr. Bob had to say a year ago.
When you realize that principle number one, that the stock market ultimately reflects the economy, and principle number two, that the two most important economic drivers are low interest rate and low inflation, they've never been wrong. Never. They've never been wrong. And then you add my wild card that the presidential and congressional election throwing so much money at the problem and this big money rebalancing. You add those all together, the Dow Jones Industrial Average will close above 30,000 this year. And furthermore, it'll cross 33,333 before Major League Baseball's opening day in 2021.
Can you believe that's what he forecast? I was shocked. Well, I've got news for you. The Dow has crossed 33,000. Today it's 33,120. You know, 200 points isn't very far to go. Major League Baseball, the Cubs open tomorrow. Let me point out that the Kane County Cougars open May 18th. And lawn seats are only $5, and you can be socially distant and wear a mask. And it's in Geneva at the Northwestern Medicine Field. But we're not talking baseball. I want to get Dr. Bob back on in a minute after this break and have him tell us not only how he pulled that out of his hat last year when we were all so afraid,
yeah,
but what he thinks going forward.
It's a good idea, Terry. And it's interesting to me, too. Not only is he spot on the number, but the factors that lead to it, he seemed to have a really good handle on. You will pick it up with me and him there in just a minute. I'm John Williams. Wednesday's syndicated financial columnist, expert and author Terry Savage joins us. And she's got something really neat today, a retrospective on Bob's prediction about the Dow. So, Terry, where are we in that now?
Okay, well, let's just say this and give Dr. Bob Frelich a due credit. He brings more than 40 years of Wall Street experience to this. He was elected to three All-American institutional research teams. He's published six investment books. They've been translated into 10 languages. He's given speeches in 107 different countries, served on the board of a major mutual fund company. And only when he retired from most of that did he buy the Kane County Cougars. But I also have to say that every year for a long, long time, he's forecast at the Executives Club Annual Economic Forecast Luncheon, which I moderate. And he has been so incredibly correct. In 2016, when people were really scared with the Dow under 16,000, he said, quote, "This is the single best time to invest in this country in the last 50 years." So I'm going to give you history. let's invite Dr. Bob on and say, first of all, Dr. Bob, congratulations on the forecast last year. How did you do that?
Thank you, Terry. And John, it's good to be with you as well. You know, Terry, I've always tried in my career is to try to turn the information into knowledge. And you do that by seeing what everyone else sees, but you try to think with a different perspective. In other words, you have to see the same thing but draw a different conclusion. And I've been really successful at that. And, you know, it's, you don't have to uncover something that no one else has seen. You just have to be able to look at things a little bit differently and realize that there's two sides to every story. And I think that's really the secret to investing.
Well, you've made a great track record of it. So let's leave last year behind, although what an incredible prediction. Where are we today? I purposely didn't ask you this one. I emailed back and forth inviting you on because I want to be surprised. Today, you know, there are a lot of people still very scared about the stock market, and I've got a whole long list to ask you after you give me your forecast of all the but what do you see for the rest of the year? How do you think we'll end up?
Well, there's another 20% yet to go in the market. So with the market at, you know, where it is today, on the upside, you know, we'll cross 40,000 by the end of the year. So when we get to the end of the year, my actual forecast, so everyone can remember it, is 401k, just like your retirement account. So 40,100, the clear another 20% in the market from here. So, I mean, the best is not behind us. The best is in front of us.
There's a moment of silence while I catch my breath.
Yeah, no kidding.
A list of buts. Wait, Bob. But what about interest rates rising and inflation? And we've already started to see rates rise, and the Fed can't control that. Last year you said low interest rates were key to the market. What about it?
Well, they are key to the market. And I think what's really key to the market is what the Fed Reserve Board Chairman Powell said. And basically, you know, the Fed will be able to control interest rates. And they said they're going to keep rates at all-time lows through 2023. What that means is you have no other place to invest other than the stock market. I'm going to win because you have no other choices. You can't sit in cash because you're making no money. You're not going to invest in the bond market because you have no yield. And so the only place for investors to go is in the stock market. That interest rate scenario is not just about the economy. It's about lack of other choices for investors. And investors are going to realize if they're going to get any return on their investment, they're going to be in the stock market. So the Fed is really helping to fuel this stock market. And the issue about inflation, look, there's always going to be 100 reasons why not to invest. And inflation is always one of them. But I have so little concern about runaway inflation today than I did 20 years ago. And here's why. It's all about technology and productivity. I mean, if you step back and think about it for a minute, everything we do in this country, we make things better, faster, cheaper than ever before. How can you have inflation when all you do is make things better, faster, and cheaper? That puts an artificial lid on inflation. And even though everyone's going to be worried about it, everyone's going to say that's a reason why not to invest, they're going to be wrong.
Is it possible that both of those numbers are so low that even if they tick up, it's still going to be very manageable, very relatively low?
John, I think that's the issue. You know, everything becomes relative. So even though they go higher, even though inflation goes a little higher, even though interest rates go a little higher, they're still at such all-time lows and create such a bullish backdrop for the economy, and that in turn creates a bullish backdrop for the stock market.
Terry,
I got to throw two more at you.
Okay.
Tax increases. Everybody says, oh my goodness, they're going to increase taxes on the people that are the investor class. Isn't that going to be a big negative for the market?
You know, I think that higher taxes will have an impact, but I don't think that it's going to have quite the impact that people believe. I think when you look at what the market has done and the net worth that's out there, and I think that, you know, I think it could have a dampening effect, but I don't think it will nearly what people think. And it's certainly, I have no concern whatsoever about raising the corporate tax rate. You know, everyone's so concerned that with now this new infrastructure, you know, $2 trillion deal, and the corporate tax rates are going to skyrocket up to 28%, and now everyone's thinking the stock market's going to be in horrible shape because of that. Well, you know, if you're a student of history, I remember when the corporate tax rate was 35%, the highest in the world. And guess what the stock market did? It hit an all-time high. So if the stock market can hit an all-time high with the corporate tax rate at 35%, I have zero concern that it's going to hit an all-time high with the corporate tax rate jumping from 21 to 28%.
All right, one more, because you hit on the other thing, infrastructure, but and the deficits. So you're not worried about infrastructure and the deficits then that those might cause?
You know, in the long run, we have to fix that. And of course, you know, we've got to figure out a way to make the economy grow and make the market grow to be able to pay for that spending that's in place. But right now, you know, we're coming after the off the most horrific year maybe in the history of this country in 2020. And so, you know, we got to do whatever we can do to get through this. And then when we get through it, we'll figure out how we pay for it. And how we pay for it is a stronger economy and a stronger stock market. And if it means higher taxes on a stronger economy and stronger market, I think people can pay higher taxes.
All right. We are talking to Dr. Bob Frelick. I want everyone to know, who's been our great forecaster last year, predicting 33,333 by opening day, which is tomorrow. We're almost there. I want to ask you one more question, and I know I'll let John get in a bunch of his own, but I had a list. You know, are you worried at all about not only just the general volatility of the market, but the changing of the guard in terms of who's moving markets? The Robin Hood story for a short version of the things that are happening that are different now in the marketplace, amateur investors, so to speak.
No. I'm not, and I'll tell you why. Because there's always been a shift in who's moving markets and how markets are going, and I don't view it as much as amateur investors as I do as Main Street has as much to gain or lose as Wall Street does. And quite frankly, you know, there was as much volatility and as much concern with institutional investors moving the market as there are with retail investors. And so I really don't think that it's a step down, that you've got more retail investors having the ability to move the markets than it is institutional investors. If institutional investors were as smart as they make themselves out to be, they'd never lose any money, and we know that's not the case.
Well, then.
Okay, now I want to push you one little bit more. Will you do this for us? You know, there's been a lot of, is it tech stocks? Is it the reopening stocks? Is it the value stocks that were beaten down? Do you want to give us any directional besides your great forecast of 40,100, like 401k? Any special area that you would either like or avoid?
I'll tell you what I love is dividend paying stocks. So I don't think it's so much as worrying about what sector you're in, but in this low interest rate environment, you know, I think that's the best play. So looking at stocks that pay a dividend, pay a predictable dividend, that gives you the double win. Not only do you get the dividend, but you get the upside of the overall market and the overall economy moving forward. So I really, really like that dividend stock place. Where I have the greatest concern is in real estate, especially commercial real estate. I think that when you live through a dramatic revolution, you don't think it's that important. But I think we just experienced the Ice Age, the Stone Age, and the Industrial Revolution all rolled into one last year. And that revolution is called work from home. And we're never, ever, ever going back to work. People don't realize we're not going back. Employees don't want to go back. They love not making those time-consuming and expensive commutes, and they absolutely love working in their sweatpants. They're not going back to work. And employers are now getting it, saying, wow, this is actually kind of cool. I can really greatly reduce my footprint I need in my office. And so that 1-2 punch, this is going to change the world forever. We have, you know, it's still playing out in a big way, and employers are going to be forced to do it, because if employers don't embrace this concept, they're going to lose their best employees. So there's going to be so much pressure on commercial. We have to recreate what commercial real estate's all about.
We are running out of time in this hour, but give us your number again and tell us why we'll remember it by year end. 401k,
just like your retirement account, 40,100 by December 31st of this year. It's all about the stock market is a reflection of the underlying economy. That's the way it works. And so it's the simplest forecast in the world. What do you think the economy is going to be in the next 9 months? Stronger or weaker than the last 9 months? This is the simplest forecast. Even weathermen could get this one correct. 401k,
well,
baby.
Dr.
Put
Bob.
It in the book.
And by the way,
I want you to be my New Year's Eve date. John, I'll let you take it over and come back later.
Yeah, Terry and I will continue this conversation after WGN Radio News and But I did want to just underscore something that you said. If the Dow is going to be 40,100 at the end of the year, Dr. Bob, I'm glad Terry brought it up. What sector of the market do you like? And you said dividend paying stocks. I was thinking, isn't there just some index fund? If it's going to go from 33 to 40, you make it sound easy. We'll just find something that mirrors the NASDAQ or the Dow and just ride that all the way, right? Maybe we'll get a clarification.
We'll talk about that on the other side, because you don't have to beat the market. If he's right, all you have to do is be the market.
Well, so I hope he's right. Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Dr. Bob. Stay right there, Terry Savage. It's 12:37. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. You're listening to WGN Radio Wednesdays. Terry Savage, the syndicated financial columnist, is our guest. Really interesting segment in the first half hour today, Terry, with Dr. Bob Frelick, the guy that owns the Kane County baseball team, but is a money manager of some note. And he said on this station, on this show, when you were hosting several months ago, that the Dow would hit 33,333 on opening day.
A year ago.
It just might do that. And he's maintaining that we'll be over 40K on the Dow by the end of the year. I hope he's right. I didn't agree
I'm going to have champagne ready. I'll tell you something. Dr. Bob, you don't see him on CNBC. You don't hear of him. But every year he headlines at Economic Forecast Luncheon. And he's done this so many times, made everybody gasp with the audaciousness of his bullish forecast. But you think about it, since 2009, I mean, the market has literally gone straight up. It just every up a wall of worry, as they say. So, yeah, and you were making a point, John, a really great point when we just went to break. Look, I asked him what he likes, because Dr. Bob always comes up with really good reasoning of what he likes. So he's had a really terrific track record. But, you don't have to spend your time picking stocks. You've got a 401k plan. In that 401k plan is the S&P 500 stock index. That and the Dow pretty much move together. All he was telling you was, if you believe in America and all the reasons he gave, and if you believe in his forecast, just keep sticking with that S&P 500 fund, add your $300 or $400 a month in your 401k, and over the long run, by the way, here's what I know, it's a fact. There's never been a 20-year period where you would have lost money in that diversified portfolio of large company stocks like the S&P with dividends reinvested, even adjusted for inflation. Every 20-year period going back 100 years, starting in 1926, you would have made money. And that's the whole point. You don't have to beat the market. Mm-hmm. Just be there in your 401k, in your IRA, Fidelity, Vanguard, your 401k. They all, I promise you, have a Standard & Poor's 500 stock index fund. Don't get this. What Dr. Bob and those precepts got me through last spring calmly.
Do you agree with his contention that we're not going back to the offices? He was worried about commercial real estate.
I think that's really interesting. Not only would I never want to disagree with a major thesis of Dr. Bob, but I think it's right. I know some corporations that say, oh, next year when we're all back there. I just don't see how that happens. That has huge implications, by the way, for downtown real estate for a while. Not office real estate, because we just saw the headlines in the Journal today about subleases at an all-time high coming on the market. Law firms saying, yeah, you can work from home or for your vacation home. So it also has implications for the residential real estate market that was made so lively by this big trend of corporations not moving to the suburbs. You have to go back 25 years. Everybody moved out of the city and went to the suburbs. Now, in the last 8 years, we've had even McDonald's moved its headquarters downtown. So there's some real implications here for our economy.
Well, he made it sound simple, didn't he? He said, look, with low interest rates and low inflation, he didn't even mention pent-up demand, but that's there too. And so look what's happening on the markets, and look how rosy the economic forecast is. And I hope that those principles stay in play, and he feels that they will be.
Yep. Isn't that a very nice way? And this, by the way, is not April 1st. That's tomorrow. So this was not April Fool's. It's been right.
Yeah. 312-981-7200. Okay, you've got questions and comments. Let's pick up some of the expertise of Terry Savage, too. Ron, you're first. You're on WGN. What can we do for you, Ron?
Yes, this is not about the stock. It's about the income tax refund.
Sure.
I filed on February 12th electronically. The IRS sent back an email saying they received my refund for my
return.
Taxes.
Yeah.
And it's in process. Now I filed electronically with direct deposit, and I still have not received a refund.
5 weeks ago. Go ahead, Terry.
Yeah. All I can say is patients, they've been busy. You know they have it. They, in the interim, started sending out all those billions of dollars worth of stimulus checks. So this is like triple work this year for the IRS, not only the stimulus checks and the regular 2020 filings for 2020, but they're still trying to get refunds out from 2019. So you did all the right things, and you did it electronically, and all I can say is be patient. It's going to take a little bit.
My parents are on Social Security. They have retirement income, but it's below the thresholds for getting a stimulus check. They've not gotten a stimulus check ever. They didn't even think they were eligible. Would they be eligible, even though they aren't technically wage earners?
Wait. They didn't get the original $1,200 or the January $600?
I said, Dad, did you get that? He said, I don't think so. I said, well...
Well, first, John, you got to go back. Yeah. If they did not get the $1,200 that came last April, May, June, or the $600 in January, even if they're not required to file a tax return for 2020, because they have very low income, they need to file one. And on line 30, that famous line 30 we always talk about, they need to claim their stimulus payments. But I'm going to bet that they did get it because Social Security recipients get those direct deposited the same way they get their benefits. And here's the big banner headline, wave a flag, all of you who are Social Security recipients and have heard everybody getting their $1,400 or their $2,800 by direct deposit or by credit card or check. They just said that they are just starting, as we speak, to mail out the $1,400 stimulus payments, not mail out, but to deposit them with your Social Security in your Social Security account, and a huge chunk of them will be hitting your bank account, so the same way you get your Social Security benefits, next week. So if you probably, if you're on Social Security, got those first two checks, but do look back. And if you're waiting and wondering why you haven't gotten your $1,400, it should hit in the next 10 days.
About that, Terry, though, I think some people think, wait, I filed electronically. It should happen so much more quickly. When you file electronically, does a human being in the IRS still have to look at it, or is it just all computers doing it?
It's all computers. I remember how many years ago going down to Bannister, Missouri, where on the day before April 15th, probably April 14th, Channel 2 News sent me down there with a camera person, and trucks backed up with tons and tons of mail dumping into these pouches, and the machines split them open, took out the checks, raced to deposit them. It was pretty automated even 25 years ago. Now it's all electronic, and so you get a better, quicker read if you file. But if you're on Social Security, that if you qualified, they'll take a quick look back at 2019, and especially if you qualified based on 2019 income, you will get that direct deposit automatically. They don't have to get your return to do that. But if anything on your 2020 return indicates, whoa, you had big income in 19, but you were below the limit in 2020, they're going to make another pass after they get your return. If you didn't get it right away, they'll make another pass, and you'll get your stimulus check down the road.
Terry Savage is the syndicated financial columnist. More of your calls and more of your texts, 312-981-7200. In just a minute, let's continue with more business news right now. Here's Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Some big names in Chicago business are backing the new grocery and restaurant business called Dom's Kitchen and Market. That's the latest venture involving Bob Mariano, the founder of Mariano's Fresh Market, and Jay Owen, the great-grandson of the Dominick's Finer Foods founder. Former McDonald's CEO Don Thompson and ex-Walgreens CEO Greg Wasson are among investors, adding $15 million in funding to allow Dom's to open more stores more quickly. The first location set to open in June at 2730 North Halsted in Chicago. A second store will open in early 2020, and 10 more stores are planned over the next 5 years in the Chicago area. Dom's will combine grocery shopping, restaurant dining, and food delivery. Chicago area medical device company Augmetics has raised $36 million in new funding for its tool that helps doctors visualize their patients during surgery. Chicago Inno reports the Series C round is led by HIG Capital, Revival Healthcare Capital, and Almeida Ventures. Augmetics X-Vision spine system is a device surgeons wear on their heads during operations. It lets doctors visualize the 3D spinal anatomy of patients during surgery. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Agribiz Now, and here's Steve Alexander.
Yes, sir, John. This is a big, big day in farm broadcasting. 87 years ago, in a farmhouse in southwest Wisconsin, during a blizzard that kept the doctor away, a great aunt stepped in and delivered a baby boy with a big voice. Orion Samuelson, 87 years old today. Happy birthday, Big O.
Do we have a recording of his first cry? Did he go, whoa? Instead of this high-pitched baby wail, they all paused and went, wait a minute, what was that?
I wouldn't be surprised. Meanwhile, I missed an important birthday earlier this month, about 2 weeks ago, that of Rudolf Diesel, who invented, well, you know.
Of course, he invented the diesel engine about 100 years ago now.
That is Donnell Rehagen, CEO of biodiesel.org, who says biodiesel is to soybeans what ethanol is to corn, a value-added byproduct.
It's a domestic fuel. It's grown domestically. It's produced domestically. And so we kind of like that.
And while the biodiesel industry started in the soybean field, there are now other things that it's being made from.
One of the great stories about biodiesel is we're able to make biodiesel out of animal fat. The parts of the animal that you and I don't find on our plates, we can turn that and render that into an oil that can be used to make biodiesel. Also, another large supply is used cooking oil. So we provide some value to restaurants around the country who have to do something with that waste product and that used cooking oil.
To make sure you're getting biodiesel, look for the black and blue sticker on the pump.
B20, so 20% biodiesel and then 80% petroleum diesel, is a pretty common blend in a lot of places. Illinois is one of the top consumers of biodiesel in the entire country.
Well, to use the logic that if some is good, more is better, why isn't all of the diesel you buy at the pump 100% biodiesel?
You could actually do that. And there are some applications, for instance, underground mines. There's a lot of B100 used there because the emissions from biodiesel is much, much, much cleaner and therefore much, much safer to humans than the emissions coming from diesel fuel.
Donnell Rehagen of biodiesel.org says the future is bright for biodiesel as companies who use trucks to move their products try to make their carbon footprint smaller, and biodiesel is an easy way to do that. Today, in addition to Big O's birthday, we are celebrating National Tater Day and also National Clams on the Half Shell Day. That's Your Money on 720 WGN.
Terry Savage, the syndicated financial columnist, has a lot of calls, Terry. So we want to.
Let's hit him.
After I read three quick texts, thanks to Dr. Bob for taking me off the ledge. Thank you for having him on and allowing for a voice of reason in these troubling times. And this person said, John, my radio cut out for Bob's last minute when he spoke about commercial real estate. How can I hear it? Go to WGNradio.com and click on the podcast of the Wintrust Business Lunch. The whole show will be there. And by the way, he is sour. He is not he's bearish on commercial real estate. And hi, Terry. Hi, John. Maybe Bob is right. Lots of money on the sidelines like me. I still have money ready to invest. Once it flows into the market, there's going to be more upside from people like 224. Lots of questions for Terry. How about Kelly? You're on WGN. Kelly, what can we do for you?
Mine is a big thank you. My mom did not receive her first two stimulus checks, and I filed the tax return just like Terry told me, and she got them a few weeks ago, and she received her third today by direct deposit.
Hallelujah.
That's what I say, and that's what she says. So I wanted to call and say thank you.
What a nice call. Thank you, and thank you, Terry. And what about you, John? You're on WGN. What can we do for you?
I'd like to know, my daughter earned about $4,000 last year all through unemployment. And is she eligible to put money in an IRA?
No, it's not earned income, so she can't put money in an IRA. But she won't have to pay taxes on it because the first $10,200 of unemployment benefits are free from federal income tax and Illinois income tax, too.
Is that what it was, John? You were thinking about sheltering that money so she didn't pay taxes on it, or are you just looking for a good investment vehicle for her?
Right. I just wanted to help her out and put some money in an IRA. She's real young, so I thought that would help her.
Next year when she gets a job, why don't you offer to match her If she can put $1,000 and you can match her, that'd be a great incentive to start one young. I did that all that story for years and years in my books and columns. If you put $2,000 a year away every year for 50 years at just a historic 10% average return of the S&P 500 with dividends reinvested, that is the historic average, you'd have $2.5 million in 50 years. Well, I wrote about that 30 or 40 years ago, and, you know, things are piling up now.
Good luck, John, and thank you for that. Let's go to Mary. You're on WGN. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Terry. I just wanted to clarify something. I'm a Social Security recipient, have been for about 7 years. My first stimulus payment came via paper check. My second payment came as a debit card, and my third one finally was direct deposited.
Do you file a tax return every year?
I file a tax return every year, even though I'm not required to based on my income, and I don't receive any refund. But this year, when I filed my 2020 tax return in late February, I did put my routing number and my checking account number on the form anyway with a little post-it note saying, you know, please use this information for any stimulus payment.
And they did.
I don't know if that's the reason I got the direct deposit or what it was, but just to let you know that the first two did not come via direct deposit.
Right. Most Social Security recipients don't, I'm not saying most, I don't even know what the numbers are, but a large majority of them did not file tax returns. Last year, they went at it helter-skelter and got the Social Security recipients. It took, you know, months for some of them, and some of them got it right away. Now they're doing a first pass. They were on 2019 returns or 2020 returns that were processed. That came first. So the fact that you filed a tax return might have been that they went off of that the first two times and sent it to you differently. But if I'm sure that if you had not filed a tax return, didn't need to and hadn't, then you would have gotten this third one by direct deposit from Social Security. And likely, if you haven't received it already, as a result of that tax return, you will get it direct deposit with the other Social Security recipients in the next couple of weeks.
Well, at least you got the money. I'm glad to hear that. 30 seconds left, Terry, and a couple of our listeners say, okay, that line 30, I put that amount that I should have got that I didn't. How do I get the money back? What's the form of rebate, if you will?
Yes. If you filed electronically and put in your banking information, it will come by direct deposit. But if you filed a paper return or didn't put in your banking information, that rebate will likely come not as a debit card, but as a check from the Treasury Department after they process your return. So that could take a while to get those earlier payments that you claimed on line 30, but it is, quote, a refundable credit. I have not heard that they are going to send those on debit cards. I'm going to assume that if it's electronic, if you put in your banking, you'll get it that way, and otherwise you'll likely get a check from the Treasury, but that could take a little bit.
Terry Savage.
Your return.
TerrySavage.com is the website. Zoom, zoom. Big show today, Terry. Thanks for your help.
Thank you, John, for letting me do that thing with Dr. Bob. He's great. I want to listen to it again on the podcast as well.
I was just going to say, if you don't know what we're talking about, listen to it at WGNradio.com, the Wintrust Business Lunch podcast. First half hour, some amazing and encouraging stuff.